And Clive Dunn, who played Corporal Jones in Dad's Army, has died. He was 92. That's the latest. I'm Matt Steele.
This is Phoenix FM.
Movie. Flight controllers, listen up. Give me a go, no go for launch. Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance
go.
Surgeon.
Go fly.
Ecom.
We're go fly.
GNC.
We're go.
Tell me.
Go.
Control.
Go fly.
Procedures.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Showtime.
Good evening and welcome to another installment of the Stage and Screen Show. I'm Dan Kajewski and this is Phoenix FM.
Back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Starting us off this week, the theme from the 1994 action comedy Beverly Hills Cop 3, which is a reworking of the original Axel F theme written for the first film in the trilogy by Harold Faltermeyer in 1984, for which he was nominated for a BAFTA. Beverly Hills Cop 3 was directed by John Landis and starred Eddie Murphy as Axel Foley, a street-smart Detroit cop who travels to Beverly Hills to investigate crimes, even though it's outside of his jurisdiction. But you can't beat a bit of diversity as an actor, and much more recently, Eddie Murphy exchanged his gun for a microphone and won a Best Supporting Actor Golden Globe Award for his performance in this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Crystal Room is proud to present the club debut of America's newest recording stars, The Dreams.
Every man has his own special dream, and your dream's just about to come true. Life's not as bad as it may seem if you open your eyes to what's in front of you. We're your dream girls, boys, we'll make you happy. Yeah, we're your dream girls, boys, we'll always care. We're your dream girls will never leave you. No, no, and all you've got to do is dream, baby, we'll be there, yeah. Dream, dream girls will help you through the night. Dream girls will make you feel alright. Dream girls keep you dreaming your whole life through.
The title track from the 2006 musical drama Dreamgirls, written by Henry Krieger, Tom Ion and Stephen Trask, and performed by Beyoncé Knowles, Anika Nonki Rose and Jennifer Hudson as The Dreams. The movie met with critical acclaim and won 3 Golden Globes and 2 Academy Awards, one of each for Jennifer Hudson as Best Supporting Actress. She also took home a BAFTA and a Screen Actors Guild Award. Pretty impressive for the big screen debut of a 7th place runner-up on American Idol, but not hard to understand why.
And I am telling you, I'm not going. You're the best man I'll ever know. There's no way I can ever go. No, no, there's no way. No. I'm not living without you.
Jennifer Hudson giving her Oscar, Golden Globe and BAFTA award-winning performance as Effie White in the 2006 movie Dreamgirls.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Dreamgirls is the story of the evolution of American R&B music during the 1960s and 70s, told through the eyes of a Detroit-based girl group called the Dreamettes and their manipulative record executive. Now, although the Dreamettes are a fictional group, there are more than a couple of passing similarities to the story of Diana Ross and the Supremes. And speaking of links to Diana Ross, did you know that the 1992 movie The Bodyguard was originally written in the 1970s as a vehicle for Diana Ross and Steve McQueen, but spent so long in development that the lead role of Rachel Maron then ultimately became the acting debut for another big voice?
Mm-hmm. all my colors for you.
The late great Whitney Houston with I Have Nothing by David Foster and Linda Thompson from the 1992 movie The Bodyguard, in which she co-starred alongside Kevin Costner as the bodyguard Frank Farmer. The movie was written by Lawrence Kasdan and directed by Mick Jackson, and although it received mixed reviews overall, the soundtrack was nominated for 4 Grammy Awards and won 3, including Album of the Year. I Have Nothing was also nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Song. And in case you weren't already aware, The Bodyguard has now been turned into a stage musical and began public previews just last night at the Adelphi Theatre in London. Making her West End debut, Tony and Grammy Award-winning Heather Hadley, who's also starred in The Lion King and Aida on Broadway, stars as Rachel Maron, with Lloyd Owen from BBC's Monarch of the Glen playing the role of Frank Farmer. The romantic thriller, directed by Thea Sharrock, features a whole host of irresistible classics, including One Moment in Time, I Want to Dance with Somebody, and of course, I Will Always Love You.
Phoenix FM.
And that leads us nicely onto this week's Stage News Update. Hayden Gwynn, Robert Hardy and Paul Ritter will star alongside the previously announced Helen Mirren in the cast of The Audience. In the world premiere of Peter Morgan's new work, Gwynn will play Margaret Thatcher, Hardy will star as Winston Churchill, and Ritter will appear as John Major alongside Mirren, who will play the Queen. Hardy's performance will mark the eighth time he's played Churchill, while Mirren is well known for her title role in the 2006 British film The Queen, also written by Morgan. Directed by Stephen Daldry, the production will run at the Gielgud Theatre from the 15th of February until June the 15th, with press night on March the 5th. The award-winning musical Wicked by Stephen Schwartz and directed by Joe Mantello is set to tour the UK and Ireland from September 2013, beginning at Manchester's Palace Theatre. It will start its run on September the 12th next year, with further dates and locations yet to be announced. The London show, which premiered in 2006, continues at the Apollo Victoria Theatre, where tickets are on sale until November the 2nd, 2013. And also embarking on a tour of the UK next year, the stage adaptation of The 39 Steps. Now in its sixth year at the West End's Criterion Theatre, a touring production of the show will launch on January the 19th at the Cambridge Arts Theatre, with dates currently booking until July the 20th. The 39 Steps is directed by Maria Aitken, with design by Peter McIntosh, lighting by Ian Scott, sound by Mick Poole, and movement by Toby Sedgwick. The show is based on John Buckham's 1914 spy thriller of the same name and was adapted for the stage by Patrick Barlow. Janie Dee and Sean Phillips will star in the world premiere of a musical from Calendar Girls writer Tim Firth next summer as part of Sheffield Theatre's new season. This Is My Family will be directed by Sheffield Theatre's artistic director Daniel Evans and will run from June the 19th until July the 20th in the studio. More details will follow when we have them. And new productions opening in London this week include Last Night, Scrooge the Musical by Leslie Bricus returns to the London Palladium for a limited run over Christmas with Tommy Steele in the title role. Thank you very much. On this very night, People by Alan Bennett opens at the National Theatre Littleton, directed by Nicholas Heitner and starring Francis de la Tour. And also at the National Theatre, but this time in the Cottesloe, we have The Effect by Lucy Prebble, opening next Tuesday. The Effect is directed by Rupert Gould and stars Billy Piper, who most recently appeared in Secrets of a Call Girl on ITV2, written also by Lucy Prebble. And more locally, tomorrow night, Kites Theatre Group's production of The Flint Street Nativity opens at Brentwood Theatre. Adults play children in this comedic look at life's challenges. Mrs. Horrocks' class of 7-year-olds is about to perform their nativity play at Flint Street Junior School for the proud mums and dads and the occasional social worker. Squabbles arise when Gabriel wants to play Mary. The star grumbles he's not a proper star like they have at NASA. Harrod won't stop waving to his mum and dad, and the submersive innkeeper is determined to liven up the traditional script. And then the stick insect escapes. The Flint Street Nativity runs until Saturday, and tickets can be booked by calling the Brentwood Theatre box office on 01277 200 305. And that's this week's Stage News Update. And I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by three representatives of Kites Theatre Group, cast members of the Flint Street Nativity, Paul Sparrowham Amy Clayton and Justin Cartledge. Hello to you all.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
No problem at all. How are you? All right?
Yeah, we're good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, sorry about the cough. Sorry.
No problem at all. Now, I found out just before we went on air, actually, that you've got your dress rehearsal tonight. So we're not going to keep you for too long, but obviously very keen to hear what you've been up to. Before we talk about your current production, perhaps, Paul, as the chair of Kites, you could tell us a little bit about the history of the group and where you started.
Yeah, well, we're over 30 years old now. We started back in 1980, when I was obviously far too young to be a member. And that's a very cynical laugh. it sprang out of a group of people that were quite sort of into the local sort of drama scenes and banded together and wanted to do their own thing. And hence, you know, the group started up. And so we've been going for 30 years now. I probably joined in about 1988 or something. Actually, I came along then, very young man, clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
And been with them ever since.
And how many members do you have now?
Oh, at the moment, I think we've probably got about 12. But to be honest, it does vary. We sort of take people in depending on the shows that we do.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know.
Okay, and I was having a look at some of the stuff you've done recently. I saw you staged a production of Amadeus fairly recently. Superb.
It was a few years ago now, probably about 2005, maybe. Okay. I think it was.
Yeah, and who decides what you produce? Who sort of makes the decisions as to what goes on stage?
Well, generally we have a committee, and normally what we'll do is we'll sort of put out a message to members, asking them if anyone wants to direct, because we're quite happy to take on new directors, and if they've got a show that they, you know, particularly want to do, then we'll, as a committee, we'll talk about it. We will ask for a submission, plan, you know, what the plans are, and then we'll look at it and see if it fits and whether like the timing is right, or it might be a production that perhaps would fit better earlier in the year rather than later in the year. So all sorts of things we'll budget, obviously, you know, we take into account.
Sure, and I guess that kind of leads to a very diverse program over the months and years, mixing it up as much as you can.
I would say that Kites generally try and do things that are challenging.
Sure.
Things can be challenging in many ways. I mean, the show we're doing at the moment, the Flint Street Nativity, is very challenging because for most of us, we're not singers and there are songs in it. So, that's a particular task that we've set ourselves, I suppose, on this show, as well as the fact that it's letting go of all those sort of adult preconceptions and trying to get into the skin of being seven again.
Yeah, sure, which obviously brings us nicely on to the Flint Street Nativity. So do you want to sort of tell us a little bit what it's about? Perhaps, Amy, maybe, if you start. It's obviously not a traditional nativity play, is it? Tell us sort of the premise.
In a way it is, but it's the background to it. You're learning about the children and their lives and their relationship with their parents and what they're picking up from their parents. There's some actually quite sad moments in it, actually, with some of the parents are breaking up. Some parents are very traumatised, and it's how they're reflecting on their children and how the kids are picking that up for themselves within their peer group. So the Flint Street Nativity does actually go on, but with many issues.
And it's sort of a behind-the-scenes look as well, I gather.
That's right.
It's got everything that's going on backstage. Sounds great. And as you've mentioned, you play very young children in it. So that must have been quite a challenge in the rehearsal process, Justin, was it?
Is
it
something that
you have to... No, not for me.
I see, but perhaps we better leave that there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, did you do anything specific to kind of try and make that as believable as possible?
Well, Hayley, who's our director, every rehearsal she wanted us to play games, whether it was had or just throwing the ball around and things like that. And I think, in fairness, that has helped. Especially had, because you forget how much fun that is. When you're
any excuse to play a game, I guess.
Yes,
like that.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And how long has the rehearsal process for this been? Have you been working on it for quite some time?
No, it's been relatively short, actually.
7 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. We started, what was it? It was in September, wasn't it? Was it in the second week in September,
something like that,
I think.
Like that.
Okay.
I think it was, yeah.
And is that sort of a number of evenings a week, or do you meet at the weekends?
It's twice a week. Weekdays, and then as we tend to get nearer the actual performance, then we'll start to slip in the odd Sunday rehearsal just because it gives us a better crack at doing a full run.
Sure, yeah.
So, yeah.
And by that point, we've started to like each other, so it's nice spending time.
Yeah, spend your weekends together. Okay, sounds good. And you mentioned songs. How would you sort of summarise the music? What sort of songs are they? The sort of thing you sing at school?
They are carols. They're traditional carols, but they've, as Amy said, every child has their own background, so it's the melody of the carol, but with the child's interpretation of what's going on in their life over it.
Sure.
So it's a bit of a pain, actually, because most people know the carols, but you're trying to learn something to that tune that's completely different worded, and it's very difficult to get out the real words.
Keep the original out of your head, I thought. Well, speaking of music from Nativities, let's take a break for a second and listen to this. Thank you, Bob. That was, rather fittingly, the child cast of the 2009 movie Nativity with One Night, One Moment, written and directed by Debbie Isett and starring Martin Freeman. Well, I'm joined here in the studio by Paul Sparrowham, Amy Clayton and Justin Cartledge from the Kites Theatre Group, who are talking about their production of the Flint Street Nativity, which opens tomorrow night at the Brentwood Theatre. And as we were saying a moment ago, they are going to be hot-footing it from here over to their dress rehearsal, so not long to go. In fact, during that song there, the guys were pointing out that the Flint Street Nativity is, of course, written by Tim Firth, who we mentioned earlier, in terms of Calendar Girls. So I thought I'd just point that out there as well. Tickets for the show. Do you know how it's been selling? How's it going?
I think it's doing okay. I won't say no if anyone else wants to buy a ticket, though. don't let me put you off. I'm telling you, it's going to be packed to the rafters. By all means, still come along. There will be tickets available most nights, I'm fairly sure. Certain.
And just to recap then, so it's three nights it's performing, tomorrow, Friday and Saturday.
That's correct, Thursday through to Saturday. It's 8 o'clock start. You'd be able to get a ticket via the Brentwood Theatre's box office. You might want to read the number out of that again later. Or also we can sell tickets through Kites' own website, which is www.kites.net. And Kites is K-Y-T-E-S.
Great. And as you mentioned, that again, that box office number for Brentwood Theatre, 01277 200 305. So there's a fair amount out there at the moment. What if you had to sort of say to people the one reason why they should come along and see this show, what would you say? What would kind of be the one selling point?
It's nearly Christmas.
Get them in the Christmas mood.
That's it.
Well, certainly that was actually one of the things that influenced us in choosing it. We thought, you know, getting into November, it was nice to get people into the mood, bit of nativity, get the Christmas spirit going. It is fun.
It is most really of fun.
It sounds great, I have to say.
Adults playing children and all the things that you can imagine that entails.
A show for all the family.
Like I've turned up to rehearsals and just had fun and gone home. I don't actually feel like I've rehearsed it. You literally turn up, pretend to be a 7-year-old, go home. It's been the happiest time of my life. It's been so much fun. Really good fun.
Can't say fairer than that.
There's a really good cast as well. Everybody is perfectly cast in their own little parts, and it's very, very funny. It is a very, very funny play.
And is it one of these pieces where the actors are playing a number of characters each, or do you just have your character that you...
Well...
Or is that... Do we don't want to talk about that too much?
Well, no, I think it's okay. You do actually see the parents of the children towards the end of the play, and so we double up. Okay. Those roles, but yeah.
Intriguing. Hopefully, so as the guys have said, do get along to the Brentwood Theatre if you can tonight. Tomorrow, Thursday, do not go along tonight, or you'll be crashing a dress rehearsal. tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday for the Flint Street Nativity by the Kites Theatre Group. Now, guys, I'm sure you're keen to get back to your dress rehearsal, so I'm not going to keep you for too much longer. But before you go, I'm going to ask you all individually to name one track for inclusion in the stage and screen show time capsule, which is something that we're going to start up this evening. The idea is that you can pick only one piece of music from either stage or screen to preserve for future generations. Now, I know I've given you a bit of advance warning for this and a little bit of time to give it some thought. So in a second, I'm going to ask you to tell me what you've chosen, and we'll put those into the time capsule. Okay, so, Justin, starting with you, what did you go for, and can you tell us what the reasoning was behind it?
I picked a song from the Full Monty, the stage version. It's the last song called Let It Go. And the reason why I picked that is because 2 years ago I was very, very lucky to have been cast as the lead in it. And
fantastic.
I hadn't done anything for 10 years, and I kind of got bullied into coming out of retirement for it. But the experience of doing the show was absolutely amazing, and the other five guys I was on stage with made the whole experience absolutely brilliant, and it was the finale song, and so for personal reasoning that would have been why I would want to keep that going.
Well introduced.
Capture your imagination. Did I break you down, make you smile? It's a serious little situation. Why don't we loosen up and dance a while?
You need a loose-lip lover with a heart of honey.
You need a sex cadet when duty calls.
Show me all your bare-faced new tag.
I wanna see our shadows bouncing off the wall.
Let it go, let it go. Loosen up, yeah, let it go. Let it go, let it go. It's alright. Let it go, let it go. Shake it up now, let it go. Just tell me when you think you're ready.
Mind if you show me yours?
Come on!
Let it go, let it go. Shake it up now, let it go. You just tell me when you think
The original Broadway cast of the Drama Desk award-winning musical The Full Monty, with the closing number of the show, Let It Go. Okay, so moving on. Paul, what was your choice and why?
Right, okay. My choice is from probably my all-time favourite film. If it's not, it's certainly up there in the like, top two or three. The Wicker Man. And referring, of course, to the Edward Woodward version rather than the more recent debacle. And I think as a film, I remember it having a really sort of profound effect on me when I saw it, because it was clearly a horror film, but it wasn't the sort of horror film that I was used to with monsters and blood and stuff. It was just wow. And I remember it just like sort of sucked me in. And the thing that had the biggest impact in that was the music, the folk music of the time, and you know, what should be like traditional English songs,
yeah,
really kind of spooky. And so I am choosing Willow's Song, which some of your listeners may remember as being the song sung while Britt Ekland was trying to get Edward Woodward's attention in the room next door.
And here it is. the hauntingly beautiful Willow's Song from the 1973 cult horror classic The Wicker Man, written by Paul Giovanni and performed by the band Magnet. Okay, last but by no means least, Amy, what's your choice for the stage and screen time capsule and why?
I have chosen Who I'd Be from Shrek the Musical. I'm a big fan of Shrek the movie, not second and third, just the original.
Yeah.
I think it's got a fabulous message, finding somebody to love you for who you are. And they've done an excellent job turning it into a musical. If you haven't seen it, I do recommend it. And this particular song is Shrek having a moment about what he could aspire to be and achieving more, but not forgetting about who you are and being true to yourself. It's a good message.
I guess I'd be a hero with sword and armor clashing, looking semi-dashing, a shield within my grip. Or else I'd be a Viking and live a life of daring while smelling like a herring upon a Viking ship. I'd sail away, I'd see the world, I'd reach the farthest reaches. I'd feel the wind, I'd taste the salt and sea, and maybe storm some beaches. That's who I'd be. That's who I'd be. Or I could be a poet and write a different story, one that tells of glory and wipes away the lies. Into the skies I'd throw it, the stars would do the telling, the moon would help with spelling, and night would dark the eyes. I'd write a verse, recite a joke, with wit and perfect timing. I'd share my heart, confess the things I yearn, and do it all while rhyming. But we all learn, but we all learn. An ogre always hides, an ogre's fate is known. An ogre always stays in the dark and all alone. So yes, I'd be a hero, and if my wish were granted, life would be enchanted, or so the stories say. Of course I'd be a hero, and I would scale a tower to save a hothouse flower and carry her away. But standing guard would be a beast, I'd somehow overwhelm it. I'd get the girl, I'd take a breath, and I'd remove my helmet. We stand and stare, we speak of love, we feel the stars ascending. We share a kiss, I find my destiny. But not for me.
An ogre always hides, an ogre's fate is known.
An ogre always stays in the dark. You're all alone.
All alone.
So yes, I'd be a hero, and if my wish were granted, life would be enchanting. I saw the story say.
And that completes the entries to the Stage and Screen Show time capsule for this week. Who I'd Be, Brian Darcy James with the original cast of the 2008 Broadway stage production of Shrek. written by David Lindsay-Abaire. A perfect happy ending. Well, what a great place to finish. Thank you so much, guys, for coming in and break a leg for tomorrow night.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You very much.
I hope the dress rehearsal goes well this evening, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Phoenix FM.
And we are running out of time, so moving straight on to this week's Screen News Update. Could Han Solo be dusting off that lovely waistcoat? Harrison Ford apparently hasn't ruled out a return to the world of Star Wars. Rumours are flying at warp speed and nothing has been confirmed, but word is Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill are both excited about the new films, and X-Men First Class director Matthew Vaughn is being wooed to direct. In the loop, we will keep you. Django Unchained star Jamie Foxx is in talks to menace Spider-Man in the sequel to this summer's The Amazing Spider-Man. Things are moving on quickly now that director Mark Webb is back on board, and his stars Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone are back on board as well. If rumours are to be believed, Fox will play Electro, who is able to control electricity, having been struck by lightning. The British Independent Film Award nominations have been announced, and among those honoured are Judi Dench for the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, Terence Stamp and Vanessa Redgrave for Song for Marion, and Plan B gets a nod for Best Debut Director. The awards will be held on December the 9th, so we'll keep you updated with the winners. Out at the cinema this week, Argo. Finally, we get our chance to see Ben Affleck's latest about the CIA sneaking into 70s Tehran, posing as a Hollywood film crew to rescue their fellow countrymen and ladies before the revolution catches up with them. Also, My Brother the Devil, a highly praised tale of gangs in Hackney and the divide it causes between two brothers as one decides he wants out while the other just starts to get sucked in. And The Sapphires, a charming story of an Australian girl group flown out to Vietnam to entertain the troops with their booze-soaked manager, played by the always reliable Chris O'Dowd. And the UK box office at the cinema this week. Taken 2 tumbles down from 3 to 5 as the plight of Liam Neeson's trouble-attracting family loses momentum. Adam Sandler's Hotel Transylvania manages to climb back up to number 4 in the half-term holidays. And new in at number 3 is Sean Bean and All Manner of Horrors in Silent Hill Revelation. The city-slicking menagerie of Madagascar 3 sticks at number 2. And Daniel Craig stays at the top spot with the really rather excellent and certainly record-breaking Skyfall. And that, I'm afraid, brings us to the end of yet another edition of the Stage and Screen Show. After the news, it's Body Talk with Melanie Watson in association with Spire Hartswood Hospital, followed by Curveballs with Nick Field at 8, and then Piers Hewitt will be here from 10 with some more Recents and Decents. Thank you to Paul, Amy and Justin of Kites Theatre Group for coming into the studio, to Vicky Bufton for the Screen News Update, and of course to you for listening. And I hope you'll be able to join me again for another instalment of the Stage and Screen Show next week, next Wednesday at 6 p.m, only on Phoenix FM. Have a great week. I'll see you then.
on the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.
From the Sky News Centre at 7, a nephew of Jimmy Savile says he supports calls for the late TV star's remains to be removed from a cemetery in Scarborough.